QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for May 15, 2013. The Aries Audio e-letter report is a voice version of the Aries e-letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el, or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you Eastern Massachusetts Section Manager K9HI on Boston Marathon Tragedy and Response, National Hurricane Conference Amateur Radio Sessions Report, WX4NHC Hurricane Season 2013 On-the-Air Station Test, Hurricane Watch Net Seeks Net Control Stations, A Go Box Option, Letters, Batteries, and Lessons Learned Repository Needed. This is not a test. Aries activates in Will County, Illinois. MCOM East seeks presenters for September conference. Amateur Radio supports Caribbean Tsunami Exercise, and K1CE for a final. Now the news. Eastern Massachusetts Section Manager K9HI on Boston Marathon Tragedy and Response. It's been an extraordinary past few weeks for the citizens of Massachusetts as well as for the entire country. The tragic events at the Boston Marathon on Patriots Day and the weeks following will forever be seared into our collective memories. The bombings, subsequent violence, the lockdown, an historic manhunt, and the eventual capture of a dangerous fugitive not only shook us but led us to summon our most enduring and positive of human qualities. We listened and watched in awe to the stories of first responders and ordinary citizens who rushed into harm's way to aid the injured and dying. In the days afterward, we collectively grieved. Slowly now, we collectively heal. For the hundreds of amateur radio volunteers from across New England who came to serve that day, the marathon was going to be a fun, routine public service event. Sure, operators at previous marathons have endured hardships and weather-related challenges. Temperature extremes in years past have resulted in hundreds of requests for ambulance transport to area hospitals. One year, there was even a fatality. But in all of the 30-plus years of Boston marathons in which amateurs have served, this one was without precedent. Amateur radio volunteers performed admirably during the period where they were covering a normal public service event. The Boston Athletic Association, or BAA, officials in Hopkinton successfully ensured a smooth and safe start, thanks in part to efficient communications provided by the hams that shadowed them. Checkpoints and first aid stations were able to verify and obtain needed supplies, and later coordinate the transport of runners. Red Cross officials, who crisscrossed the course, were kept in the loop always, thanks to their amateur radio shadows. But then, at 2:50 p.m., initial rumors and vague reports surfaced. CNN texts and other media alerts began to light up smartphones. Phone call volume increased. In fact, in many locations along the course, cell phone service crashed under the strain. Soon it was apparent to everyone that a major disaster was unfolding, and amateurs were caught up in the middle of it. The jarring directive went out over the amateur networks to halt all runners. Stop the marathon. The BAA's mission abruptly changed, and new priorities were quickly introduced. As marathon volunteer Tim Carter, W3ATB of Meredith, New Hampshire, succinctly puts it, the bombs created a new set of problems. How do the runners stay warm? How do the runners get fed? How do the runners get to their belongings? How do the runners discover if their loved ones waiting at the finish are okay? How do the runners let their loved ones know where they are? How will the thousands of runners be transported to who knows where? News coverage of the bombings and subsequent capture of the suspects has, of course, been nonstop and numbing. Soon, for the first time, the behind-the-scenes story of amateur radio at this Boston Marathon will appear in the volunteer's own words in the pages of QST magazine. I want to thank our section emergency coordinator, Rob Macedo, KD1CY, for helping to pull together much of the material that will appear in these stories. Some of the other contributors include Paul Topolsky, W1SEX, the District Emergency Coordinator for Worcester County in Western Massachusetts, Steve Schwarm, W3EVE, the District Emergency Coordinator for Field Operations in Eastern Massachusetts, Tim Carter, W3ATB, Carl Aveni, N1FY, Assistant Section Emergency Coordinator, and Terry Stader, KA8SCP, District Emergency Coordinator. I'm proud of the actions of the Section's ARES members and other Marathon Amateur Radio Communications Consortium participants during this horrific event. When the shock hit, amateurs shifted gears seamlessly from public service event coverage to full-blown emergency operations. The fact that amateurs are trained and able to make such a profound transition so quickly ensures that our services will always be in demand. You have this section manager's sincere gratitude. And thanks to Phil Temples, K9HI, the ARRL Eastern Massachusetts section manager, for this report. Now it's time to take a short break to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL ARES audio e-letter for May 15, 2013. National Hurricane Conference Amateur Radio Sessions Report. The National Hurricane Conference was well represented with a strong amateur radio presence once again in 2013. This year's National Hurricane Conference took place at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside in New Orleans, Louisiana. Over 60 radio amateurs attended a day of workshops from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Monday, March 25th. Presentations were received from Dr. Richard Knabb, Director of the National Hurricane Center, Julio Ripoll, WD4R, and John McHugh, K4AG, coordinators of WX4NHC, the amateur radio station at the National Hurricane Center, Matt Anderson, KD5KNZ, from the Louisiana Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, or GOHSEP, Dennis Dura, K2DCD, the Assistant Director of the Office of Emergency Management for the New Jersey Department of Human Services, Joe Stepansky, KQ3F, from the Hurricane WatchNet, Rob Macedo, KD1CY, the Eastern Massachusetts ARES Section Emergency Coordinator and Director of Operations for the VOIP Hurricane Net, and Mike Corey, KI1U, the Emergency Preparedness Manager from ARRL Headquarters. Jim Palmer, KB1KQW, handled videographer duties and the live stream of the National Hurricane Conference with assistance from Mike Sparky Ledger, N1YLQ. The morning presentation featured discussion of Hurricane Isaac and the amateur radio response in Louisiana by Matt Anderson, KD5KNZ, from GOHSEP. Matt explained the local response to Isaac and the hurricane's impacts to the region. Isaac, while not as strong as Katrina, provided a significant impact in terms of power outages and tree and wire damage, as well as damage to levees in other parts of southern Louisiana that were not affected by Katrina and other past hurricanes. Matt reported that Hurricane Isaac did not have a significant impact to communications infrastructure to the area. The session then turned to a panel discussion on Hurricane Sandy. Rob Macedo, KD1CY, Eastern Massachusetts Section Emergency Coordinator and Skywarn Coordinator for the National Weather Service Forecast Office in Taunton, gave the discussion of Hurricane Sandy's impacts in southern New England and of how the region's main response efforts were providing damage reports and meteorological data to the National Weather Service, the media, and emergency management. This created a picture of situational awareness for various agencies and supported disaster intelligence gathering as the impacts from Sandy took hold over the region. Also discussed was the fact that Sandy's impacts were felt all the way to southern New England. From a mid-Atlantic perspective, Assistant Director for New Jersey Office of Emergency Management, Dennis Dura, K2DCD, presented what occurred in the state of New Jersey and explained how the lack of situational awareness and disaster intelligence information hurt their overall response. He also discussed how devastating the impact was to a large part of the state. Mr. Dura participated in several aerial missions to understand the amount of significant damage that took place over the state. A video was then shown on the impact of Hurricane Sandy across southern New England, New York City, and the Mid-Atlantic regions. During the afternoon session, WX4NHC coordinators Julio Ripoll, WD4R, and John McHugh, K4AG, discussed amateur radio operations at the National Hurricane Center amateur radio station, WX4NHC. The operators and team at WX4NHC have entered their 33rd year of service to the National Hurricane Center, and they described the various operations since 1980, including the move of the National Hurricane Center in the mid-1990s, and the use of digital modes and the APRS weather stations across the Caribbean islands. They described the criticality of providing surface reports, both in near real time and post-storm, and how they can affect the historical record of hurricanes and tropical storms. The team also presented their highly critical role during the mission to Haiti after the Haiti earthquake. The team at WX4NHC, coupled with Mars Communicators, who provided interoperable communications for the medical teams associated with the University of Miami MediShare project. This was a critical international amateur radio project that presented tremendous value to the agencies involved in the response efforts for the earthquake and represents one of the most critical amateur radio missions completed in recent memory. Dr. Richard Knabb, the director of the National Hurricane Center, presented, from his perspective, the importance of amateur radio surface reporting and described a case where reports from a ship at sea off the coast of El Salvador helped to change the historical record of a tropical storm. Dr. Knabb impressed upon attendees how important hurricane preparedness and reporting is and reaffirmed his commitment to amateur radio operations at the National Hurricane Center. Representatives from the Hurricane Watch Net and VOIP Hurricane Net presented their nets. Joe Stepanski, KQ3F, presented on the Hurricane Watch Net and their mission that started in 1965. The net is entering its 49th year of service to the mission of surface reporting and communications during hurricanes. Mr. Stepanski described their need for net control stations across different parts of the country, bilingual operator needs, having stations in the affected area of hurricanes reporting to the net, and using HF frequencies beyond their standard 20-meter frequency of 14.325 megahertz. Rob Macedo, KD1CY, who is also director of the operations for VOIP Hurricane Net, described the VOIP Hurricane Net method of using both Echolink and IRLP in a combined network. He also described the amount of surface reporting and contact with the New Orleans area during Hurricane Isaac via a video presentation. ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U, provided an ARRL update on emergency communications. This included an update on the ARRL Headquarters Incident Management Team that activates for significant incidents, plus an update on recent work in the past year with FEMA. The day of workshops ended with a Q&A session with the panel of speakers. The 2013 National Hurricane Conference was live-streamed, with over 250 unique viewers monitoring the live stream. There were some technical issues this year that were not present last year, but overall, the conference live stream was a way for many other amateur operators to view presentations as they occurred. The technical issues will be rectified for next year's conference. As we approach the start of the Atlantic hurricane season on June 1, 2013, we encourage amateur radio operators to review their personal preparedness efforts and to assure that their amateur radio stations are operational. If amateurs have thought about putting up weather stations, now is a great time to install them. Thanks for this report goes out to Rob Macedo, KD1CY, the Eastern Massachusetts Ares Section Emergency Coordinator, and Director of Operations for the VOIP Hurricane Net. It's time again to pause to allow stations to identify. This is the ARRL Ares Audio E-Letter for May 15, 2013. Now the WX4NHC Hurricane Season 2013 On-the-Air Station Test. Julio Ripoll, WD4R, the WX4NHC Amateur Radio Assistant Coordinator, tells us that the WX4NHC Hurricane Season 2013 On-the-Air Station Test will be held on Saturday, June 1, 2013, from 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 13 hours UTC through 21 hours UTC. The purpose of this event is to test the National Hurricane Center's, or NHC's, amateur radio station equipment, antennas, and computers. We will also perform operator training in preparation for this year's hurricane season. We will be making informal contacts on many frequencies and modes, and would appreciate signal reports and basic weather data exchange, such as sunny or rainy, etc., from stations at any location. WX4NHC will be on the air on HF, VHF, UHF, and 2 and 30 meters APRS. We plan on testing on the following voice frequencies: 3.950 MHz, 7.268 MHz, 14.325 MHz, 21.325 MHz, and 28.425 MHz. We will try to stay on 14.325 MHz most of the time and announce when we QSY. QSL cards are available via WD4R. Please send your card with a self-addressed stamped envelope. Please do not send QSLs directly to the National Hurricane Center address, as it will get delayed. Due to security measures, no visitors will be allowed entry to the NHC without prior clearance from NHC security. Only WX4NHC operators on the NHC's pre-approved operating schedule will be allowed entry. For more information about WX4NHC, please visit our website at www.wx4nhc.org. I'll repeat that URL. It's www.wx4nhc.org. Hurricane Watch Net seeks net control stations. With the 2013 hurricane season approaching, the National Hurricane Center in Miami and the Hurricane Watch Net, or HWN, are gearing up for what could be a very active storm season. In preparation for the upcoming season, the HWN is currently seeking new members who can serve as net control stations. The HWN provides on-the-ground, real-time weather data from amateur radio operators who volunteer their time to monitor their calibrated home weather stations. The stations report that data to the HWN, who in turn reports it to WX4NHC. Net manager Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, told the ARRL, "The Hurricane Watch Net relies on volunteer operators, our members, who serve as net control stations." He said HWN members are hams, who have above-average stations, are capable of effectively conducting HF net operations, and are willing to commit their time to operating in support of HWN's mission during net activations. The net sessions can be long and very stressful at times. The HWN primarily operates on 14.325 MHz, but given the current solar activity, the HWN is looking for new members who can help with net control station duties on the low end of the 40-meter phone band. Mr. Graves said, "If 20 meters goes away, we lose the ability to effectively communicate with our reporting stations or the NHC. By expanding our operation to 40 meters, we can easily change over when propagation changes." Mr. Graves also told the ARRL that the HWN is especially looking for new members with stations that can effectively communicate with Central America and the Caribbean, Mexico, the Gulf Coast, the East Coast, and South Texas. He added, "As we head into the 2013 hurricane season, we're looking for qualified amateurs who are located anywhere within North America or the Caribbean. We are also looking for bilingual hams. We recognize that some Latin American operators hesitate to check in and send reports to us if they are not fluent in English. So we're also interested in hearing from hams who are fluent in both Spanish and English. When we're working storms that are either affecting or threatening areas where Spanish is the language of choice, we always try to have one or more bilingual HWN members on hand to help with reporting." While HWN membership is required to serve as a net control station, radio amateurs do not need to be an HWN member in order to participate as an HWN reporting station that provides observed or measured weather reports or relays assistance as required by HWN net control. If you are interested in becoming a member of the Hurricane Watch Net, please visit the membership information page on the HWN website, www.hwn.org. That URL again is www.hwn.org. The Hurricane Watch Net is activated either at the request of the National Hurricane Center and or when an Atlantic Basin hurricane is within 300 miles of landfall. Although hurricanes can happen any time of the year, hurricane season for the Atlantic and Caribbean runs from June 1st through November 30th and usually peaks anywhere from late August through September. The Pacific hurricane season runs from May 15th through November 30th. It's time once again to pause to allow the repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL audio e-letter for May 15th, 2013. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting. A Go Box option. The following is submitted by Paul Zadonia, WD8CJN in Pinconning, Michigan. With the increased interest in operating on a portable basis, hams can find it difficult transporting their equipment in a secure container that affords insulation and protection during transit. It can also be difficult dealing with the space limitations of RVs. Tote boxes work, but are big and bulky. A friend of mine, Louis Stempek, AB8YO, suggested the use of a fishing tackle box. The largest fishing tackle box on the market is the Plano 758, and it affords the room needed. The first thing you will need to do is to remove the four tackle trays and fabricate new trays. I chose to use quarter-inch-thick laminated mahogany, but any quarter-inch-thick wood will work. I installed two shelves that were spaced far enough apart to hold the equipment and easily slide in and out. This afforded easy removal to change, add, or repair equipment. In my version of the Go Box, the radio is located on the bottom shelf in the mobile bracket next to the LDG Auto Tuner. On the upper shelf of my Go Box is an MFJ 862 UHF VHF wattmeter, an MFJ 860 HF wattmeter, and the Signalink USB digital interface sound card for PSK, RTTY, and other digital modes. The meters are held in place with Velcro strips glued to the wooden tray. The top of the tackle box doubles as storage, where I keep a 60-watt dummy load, hand microphone for SSB, keys, pens, and the 7-inch TFT display that plugs into the IC7000. The power cable for the monitor, video cable from the IC7000, and a USB cable from the Signalink is fed via three holes drilled in the bottom of the storage tray and led down to the IC7000, Signalink digital interface sound card, and a 12-volt Anderson power block. The USB cable is used to connect a laptop while in digital mode. The box is made of plastic and was easy to cut and drill. The rear of my Go Box features four surface mount connections, as I wanted to avoid snagging while in storage. Power is provided by an external switching 35-amp power supply with Anderson power pole connections. A smaller power supply could be used, but I already had the 35-amp power supply and did not want to purchase another. Coax and power cabling need to be kept as short as possible. There is not a lot of room behind the equipment, and binding can take place when the trays are slid in. I had to cut a notch out of the bottom tray to allow for the microphone connection, or use the connection on the rear of the IC7000. The IC7000 runs hot in the digital mode, even at 25 watts, and additional cooling should be provided as the temperature gauge will climb into the red after prolonged use. I increased cooling by cutting a 2-inch diameter hole in the top shelf behind the VHF wattmeter directly above the rig, and installed a 2-inch muffin fan facing down on the IC7000 heatsink. This proved not to be enough cooling for long-winded RTTY QSOs running at higher power, so I added another 2-inch muffin fan in an upright position behind the LDG tuner, facing the rig's heatsink. So, in addition to the internal fan, there are now two external muffins cooling the rig. This did the trick, and overheating is no longer an issue. The fans are plugged into the Anderson power block, and they may be unplugged if not needed. Since they are muffin fans, noise is not an issue and they can be left on. If digital modes are not going to be used, then one fan is ample to do the job. There is no finite number of configurations available or rigs that can be used. If it fits, it can be made to travel. What I have offered here is just food for thought, and while this setup works for me, it may not be what you want. Photos may be viewed online by looking at the May 15, 2013 edition of the ARRL Aries e-letter at arrl.org/ares-el. Our thanks to Paul Zadonia, WD8CJN in Pinconning, Michigan, for this submission. Now it's time for letters. Our first letter comes from Ward Silver, N0AX in St. Charles, Missouri, and his subject is batteries. Mr. Silver wrote, "Good point about recharging batteries in the last issue. I should point out that most of the 2 or 4 cell rechargers for AA rechargeable batteries have a 12-volt or 6-volt DC input supply voltage from a wall wart. A 12-volt recharger will work just dandy off a vehicle supply and makes recharging plausible as an MCOM strategy. A 12-volt to 6-volt converter lets the 6-volt recharger work off 12-volt sources as well. What I do with my 12-volt accessories is cut the cord connecting the wall wart to the coaxial power jack and put in a pair of Anderson power poles. That way I can run them off just about anything I have handy with Anderson Power Poles. My point is, you don't have to choose between primary batteries. Plan ahead to make sure your equipment is flexible. Our second letter is from Terry Hall, K6MA, the emergency coordinator for the Los Angeles Ares Northwest Rapid Response Team in California. His letter is titled, Lessons Learned, Repository Needed. Mr. Hall wrote, I am very active in our local Ares group, Ares LAX Northwest, and take part in many mock drills throughout the year with the LAPD, Highway Patrol, Sheriff's Department, Metro Security, Fire Department, FBI, local police, hospitals, and so forth. Some of these drills last 7 to 8 hours, and I always learn something from them. However, they are drills, and therefore not as stressful as a real situation. It occurred to me that in certain parts of the country, some hams deal with real hurricanes and tornadoes every year. These hams must have a wealth of knowledge that many other emergency communications groups do not have, based on hard experience. Has there been any thought to having some way of sharing the valuable experience that the hams have, who deal with annual disasters, with those of us who have no real disaster experience? Is there any kind of database of lessons learned, or what worked, and what did not work? Here in California, we are waiting for the big earthquake to hit, and I'm not sure how well we will perform, having only mock drills for experience. Maybe you could include some practical tips from the experts in your newsletter as a means of sharing the knowledge. Or, if someone has a better idea of how to share the experience, I'm all ears. It's time again to pause and allow stations to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for May 15, 2013. Now we'll continue with This Is Not a Test. Aries activates in Will County, Illinois. On Thursday, April 18th, members of the Will County Aries WC Aries Illinois group received a text message alert that members were needed to support a shelter and the EOC at Plainfield for communications. With rain falling for the past weeks, followed by heavy rains the previous 2 days, help was needed. The rivers had crested, sending water into homes and the streets. The Plainfield EMA established a shelter at the Plainfield High School and opened up the EOC to control any needed actions for potential victims. Dale Marzano, N9JH, the emergency coordinator for WC Aries, put out the call for members needed for Thursday night and shifts on Friday. Dan Berg, KC9VZI, showed up at the EOC at 18 hours local time to set up a link to the shelter, while Nathan Block, W6NJB, established a portable 2-meter, 440 megahertz station in the gym of the high school. Both stations were on the air in a short time. Later in the evening, Dennis Rivas, KC9IRL, and Archie Hawley, N9ZMM, showed up to support and help as backups when needed. Throughout the night, there were status checks from the EOC to Shelter 1 to see if anyone had checked in. The shelter did not have any takers and was closed at 23 hours local time. Aries members were released at both sites, and a stand-down call was sent out. You never know when the real deal is going to happen. That is why Aries members train to make sure they can help when the need is called for. That is why we encourage hams to sign up with their local Aries groups for training and meetings, because you never know when you're going to get the call, "This is not a test." Thanks to Daniel R. Berg, KC9VZI, in Coal City, Illinois, for this article. MCOM East seeks presenters for September conference. MCOM East will be held in Rochester, New York on Sunday, September 29, 2013. We are looking for presenters for our Emergency Communications Conference. If you are interested, please visit our website online at mcomeast.org. Again, that URL is E-M-C-O-M-M-E-A-S-T, no spaces, .org. Thanks to Jeff Wegall, WY7Q in Rochester, New York, for this information. Amateur Radio supports Caribbean Tsunami Exercise. Angel Santana Diaz, WP3GW, the ARRL Public Information Coordinator for the ARRL Puerto Rico section, reported, on Wednesday, March 20, 2013, at 9:03 a.m., the Puerto Rico Emergency Management Agency, or PREMA, and Agencia Estatal para el Manejo de Emergencia y Administración de Desastres, or AEMEAD, again participated in the now yearly exercise Caribe Wave Lantex 13. The scenario was a tsunami situation based on an earthquake that had its epicenter 57 miles north of the island of Aruba. The purpose of the exercise was mainly to test the communications of the emergency agencies throughout the Caribbean. Although many municipalities conducted their own evacuation drills, to also test response to emergency alerts. As always, amateur radio was operational from the PREMA headquarters. The mission there was to collect information from other amateur radio stations in the affected region and on how they initially received the notification of the earthquake and resultant tsunami. All reports were handled via KP4CAR, which covers almost all of the island, as well as other linked repeaters. Now, K1CE for a final. Rick Palm writes, with astonishing speed and efficiency, the Boston Marathon radio communications support converted to a major disaster operation and the criminals were brought to swift justice. It's all due to the country's massive investment of resources into emergency management and interoperability initiatives post 9/11 and Katrina. The investment is paying rich dividends in public safety, now and for the future. The amateur radio community is part and parcel of this investment. While I was sitting in the waiting room of a Daytona Beach, Florida, two-way radio shop recently, waiting for a technician to drill a hole in the roof of my pickup truck for a 2-meter mount and antenna, I browsed the glossy pamphlet for the Volusia County EOC and Sheriff's Dispatch Center. Smack in the middle of the short list of features on page one was this one that jumped off the page at me, Ham Radio Center. I smiled and asked the clerk if I could keep the brochure. The clerk said, sure. It's now on my desk as a reminder of the integral part we play nowadays in the vast arena of public safety. 73 until next month, from Rick, K1CE. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for May 15, 2013. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2013, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.